This is Audible.
And now, part three of Skippy Dies, written by Paul Murray and read by John Keating and a full cast.
Now you're deep in the forest, searching for the final demon's castle. The sun is going down. The tree trunks glow pale silver, wrapped root upwards with spider web. You left your horse down in the valley. There was no way to take it along. Where will it go? Someone kind will take it in, and afterwards you can come and collect it. Afterwards. When you came back from Laurie's, Ruprecht was still out on his mission. You put the frisbee in the wardrobe and got the tube of pills from under the mattress. Through the dorm window, the sky is the same dead black as the empty schoolyard, as if they've tarmacked over it. And on the desk, like a yellow leaf, the note you found stuck to the door. Bus leaves for Ballinasloe, 8 a.m. See you there. No one knows much about the third demon. Even on the internet, it's hard to find any information. You've crossed the realm 3 times, hunting for this castle. You leave the woods for the wetlands now, in blazing moonlight, heading north. You run until there's no further you can go, and you hit the border of the realm, the invisible wall where, though the grass and water continue into the distance, your legs move without taking you anywhere. Okay, try going west instead. According to one solution of M-theory, our universe is a hypersphere, which is to say it's shaped like a bubble. That means that if you were to run as far as you could go, i.e., for 15 trillion light years, which is the size of the universe, you would eventually end up right back where you started. So how would you end up somewhere else? Ah, well, from inside the bubble, that is to say hyperspace, you could go wherever you wanted, like back in time, backwards, forwards, any point in space. Not to mention the other universes, an infinity of them maybe. So how do you get into the bubble? Well, that's where it gets tricky. Because we're too big and heavy for the dimensions? You could put it like that. Jed, running and running, west and west, through the pre-dawn gloom. Now you come to a fork in the path you don't remember being there before. Both ways look identical. Lined with trees and mist. You pick one at random and start walking. Before long, you notice the mist getting thicker. Soon it has spread to cover everything, leaving only ghosts of trees, ghosts of a path. Still, if you keep going the same direction, you're bound to get somewhere eventually. So you keep going. Sleep pulls at your eyelids. The clock ticks, pushing you closer and closer to tomorrow. Bus leaves for Ballinasloe, 8 a.m. Flu epidemic, Ebola, plague, bus explosion, revolution, dinosaur skeletons in the museum, coming to life and wreaking havoc, alien invasion, death. See you there! Smiley face. The mist goes on and on. As you walk, things come up out of your thoughts, frazzles of memories swirling around you and binding together, gathering like ghosts out of the dark. The swim meet, the last one, in Thurles. Grown-ups squeezed into plastic bleachers. Country parents in frilly blouses and jumpers with diamond patterns. Seabrook parents in sunglasses, jewellery, fake tan. The other teams had bogger accents and broad shoulders. In the changing rooms, they called you Towny Ponces. You were huddled in a corner, not talking. With your goggles, you looked like scared insects. Then coach pulled you in together. You can do it, guys. They're already afraid of you. Because you're better than them. Then the whistle blew. On and on. Deeper into the mist. As soon as you hit the water, you stopped being scared. Water is the same everywhere. Your body moved without even thinking. You realized all the times before in training were just shadows of this time, and the realness made you fly. The cheers from the bleachers were crashes of sound, like the breaths of a monster that hit you whenever you came up for air. Your arms burned, they plowed and dug, like you were traveling right through the earth. You didn't know what was happening around you, just kept hurling yourself forward till your fingers touched the wall. Then you saw Coach jump up with his fist in the air. The metal trophy, made in Korea, in the fat fingers of the judge. Coach's blue shirt, black from carrying you on his shoulders. The space in the crowd where Mum and Dad would have been. That's where you kept looking. She can't come to the phone right now, sport. Okay, Dad. Maybe later. A black hole is a region where the rules break down, where we don't know why what happens, happens. Likewise, the word cancer does not designate a specific disease. Instead, you should think of it as the name we give to a huge hole in our knowledge, a blank space on the map, so to speak. Who wants hamburgers? McDonald's in Thurles tasted different to home. Then back to the hotel. It was green like mint ice cream that had been left in the rain for years and years. In the next bed, Anthony Taylor fell asleep straight away. The others were in Siddhartha's room watching Dunstan Checks In. Is she awake now? She's just gone to bed, sport. But she's so proud of you, Danny. She wanted me to tell you. You lay there in the dark. Anthony's snoring was like a cement mixer. You just wanted to talk to her. You just wanted them to tell you what was happening. And then your leg felt like it was twisting up inside. You couldn't lie still. It was twisting you right up out of the bed. You got up. You hopped around. Then you opened the door. The wallpaper in the hotel was green too. It looked like you were underwater, the gold numbers on the doors counting down. You raised your hand to knock, and then... How long have you been walking in this mist? It's got so thick that everything else has been blotted out. All you can see is this endless, pearly grey sea. Crap! Maybe when you came to that fork in the path, you should have gone the other direction. Now there is no path. You turn round, head back the way you came, but it does not seem to make any difference. East, southeast, south. Nothing but mist. You start to wonder if maybe the game has crashed, leaving you stuck in some corner at the edge of the map. And you're just leaning forward to press the reset button on the console when you catch sight of something away off in the distance. At first, it hardly looks like anything. Just a speck, almost too small to see. But the speck quickly grows into a dot, and the dot into a tiny patch of dark grey against the background of silvery fog. As you hurry towards it, you realize that whatever it is also making its way towards you. Thud! Thud! Goes your heart. Your hands on the controller are slippery with sweat. You know it's the demon, even from this distance. You can tell from the way the hairs on your arms stand up. The room thumps with your heartbeats. The night colors drain and pulse in rhythm. And now it steps at last out of the mist. Reality lurches left, then right, because you know its face. You rub your eyes. You pinch your arm, glance around you. The room is still here. You are still cross-legged on the floor. Your floor. Behind you, Ruprecht's SETI scan bleeps quietly to itself. In the window, the usual stars and the far-off sound of Casey Ellington chasing Cormac Ryan around the car park with a shaken-up can of Dr. Pepper. But when you look back at the screen, nothing has changed. On one side, Jed, with his golden hair, his sword of songs, the princess's amulet. On the other is Coach, He looks just like he always looks, in his hoodie with a Seabrook crest, a whistle on a string around his neck, his body listing slightly to one side, his hands hanging empty at his sides. He looks back out at you. You don't know what to do. Is this supposed to be happening? Is this still the game? You laugh, because it's so ridiculous, but there's no one there to hear you laugh. You wish Coach would stop looking at you, out of the screen, but he doesn't stop, and now he says,
"Swim, mate."
Your whole body jolts. The walls of the room churn round like a fairground ride. Maybe you imagined it, but then he speaks again.
"Swim, mate,"
he says. Is this really happening?
"Swim, mate."
"Coach," you say to the screen, but he just says it again.
"Swim, mate."
And again, louder.
"Swim, mate."
"Stop," you shout back. Now he's coming towards you.
"Swim, mate."
"This is impossible. You're in a game."
"Swim, mate."
You pick up the controller where you've dropped it at your feet. Maybe you can just run past him? But without appearing to move, he blocks your way. You try another direction. There he is again, standing in front of you. It's getting harder and harder to think. Mist rolls around the two of you, like a ring of ghosts watching a schoolyard fight. And now he advances towards you. You, like he's going to come through the screen.
"Swim, mate,"
he says. You let out a cry, lunge at him with the sword. You slash at his arms and neck. The blows have no effect. He keeps coming forward.
"Swim, mate."
You run backwards, take out the bow and release four arrows into his chest. They stick out, shafts wobbling, as he advances towards the screen.
"Swim, mate."
"Shut up!" You take out the axe of invincibility and run towards him. You hack at him, hew at his face and body. You cast spells, firestorm, reversal, banishment.
"Swim, mate, swim, mate, swim, mate."
Now you start to cry. "Shut up," you plead.
"Swim, mate,"
he says. You yelp, you kick the monitor.
"Swim, mate."
You go for the console, but something has gone wrong because it won't switch off. You flick the button back and forth, but nothing happens, and now Coach's face is right up against the screen, going over and over and over.
"Swim, mate, swim, mate, swim, mate, swim, mate."
And there is a sound like a door opening, and you reel back from the screen, as like it's been summoned. It appears there right in front of you, the door, its gold number, and you see yourself walking inside, into a hotel bedroom.
"Hey there, Daniel. What's up?"
He's rising from the chair. On the dresser, the pills and a glass of wrong-tasting Coke. And you know what's going to happen, but it's like you're locked into the movements, like you're watching yourself.
"You just relax there. Don't worry about a thing."
His hand reaches out for you. Yes, you remember now, don't you? Into your hair, gritty with chlorine. While Mum lies on her back with tubes going into her. And your soul slides down a slippery slope. Your body is black magic, encased in ice, never again to escape or change or grow. And tomorrow it will happen all over again. "Bus leaves for Ballinasloe, 8 a.m. See you there." Do you understand now, Skippy? You cannot run any longer. You've come 15 trillion light years to the very place you started from. That's the shape of the universe. That's called the way it is. It's a door that pulls you like a black hole into the future. And everything that promises to take you away from it, a girl, a game, a portal, these are no more than stray gleams and sparkles of light, shining at you from somewhere you will never be able to go. On the monitor, the third demon turns expressionlessly and walks back into the mist. Now you're lying with your head on the carpet. Somewhere above you, a clock ticks. Your body feels like lead. It feels like you're already dead. But then you notice something.